rescue the perishing, care for the dying. It's good. Open your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 tonight. We'll take our text from there, verses 13 through 17. We've been talking about fruitfulness, and fruitfulness comes from the root. If you don't have good roots, you won't have good fruits. And so we've been learning about how to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be rooted in Christ, we have to be rooted in His Word. You can't separate Jesus from the Word, because the Bible is the living Word of God and Jesus is the living Word of God. They go together. You cannot have one without the other. If you say you have Christ but you don't have His Word, then you're confused. If you say you've got the Word of God but you don't have Jesus, then you're confused. We have to have both. And if we're rooted in the Word of God, that means we're going to get rooted in the truth of God's Word. And God's Word is truth, because God is truth. And you'll remember, Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. And so when we get in the Word of God, we find the truth of God. And when we get the truth, we get our topic tonight, which is wisdom. Wisdom, according to Proverbs 4 and verse 7, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is a principal thing. Wisdom is a very important thing, and wisdom is something, biblical wisdom is something, I'm afraid, that's very lacking in our world today. And we're going to learn tonight that there are two different kinds of wisdom. There is worldly wisdom, and there is godly wisdom. Two little boys were having a little fight over breakfast because their mom made them pancakes, and both of them wanted to have the first pancake. And so she stopped the fight and said, "Boys, I'm going to teach you a spiritual lesson here. If Jesus were here today, He would say to His brother, 'You have the first pancake.'" So one brother said to the other, "You be Jesus." That's wisdom. But I'm not sure that's godly wisdom. And that's the way it is. We see wisdom today, and whatever we do in this life, whatever decisions we make, however we live our lives, that comes from the type of wisdom that we are living by, because wisdom is knowledge applied. The world's wisdom is when you take the world's philosophies, the world's ideas, the world's version of the truth, and you apply that to your life. When you do what the world thinks is right, you are living by worldly wisdom. But when you take the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, and you live by God's truth, that is godly wisdom. Everybody see the difference? And let me tell you, here's the reality. Most of us live more by worldly wisdom than we do by godly wisdom, because it comes naturally to us, and because everything in the world is pumping its wisdom into us, its knowledge, its ideas, its philosophies. We get it everywhere. The wisdom that we have as children, you be Jesus. To look out for ourselves, to put ourselves first. That's worldly wisdom, and that's natural. Everything we see in television, everything we hear in secular music, everything that we learn from our friends, and everything we learn from our culture, all of that is teaching us something. And when we live by those ideals, then we are living by worldly wisdom. So tonight, I hope that we can see the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, and then we'll learn how to apply and to get and apply godly wisdom in our lives. So if you're able, let's stand to honor the reading of God's Word, James chapter 3 and verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please give us truth from your word. And may we glean wisdom from that truth as we apply your word. Help us to be obedient to your scriptures. Help us to live by them day by day. And Father, help us to understand that having godly wisdom is never going to be something we can do in our own strength. But by your grace and by your spirit, help us to live with your wisdom. Please forgive us where we fail you. Please encourage and strengthen our hearts today and renew our spirits in us today, that we can go from here encouraged and equipped to do more for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Rooted in Christ's wisdom. In the world, they have their wisdom. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And you need to understand, when it's the world's philosophy, the world's traditions, when it's the world's ideas, the rudiments, the basic ideas of the world, that's not Christ-like. If it's of the world, it's not of God. If it's not of faith, then it's sin. And we need to understand that today, because too many times we want to try to mix it together. Too many times we want to serve God and mammon, and we can't do that because you can't have two masters. If you have two masters, you're gonna love the one and hate the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. And we can't live by the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. It doesn't work. You've got two different masters pulling in two different directions, and so that just doesn't work. There's a philosophy we could choose to believe, but it's deceptive. And that philosophy follows the world's and man's traditions. We also see that this philosophy is contrary to Christ. In James 3:15, we read, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." Understand that it's not of Christ, it's of the world. Now, we need wisdom in order to make decisions, and we need that wisdom as we face situations every day in our lives so that we can be more deeply rooted in Christ. But to do that, we need not the world's wisdom, but God's wisdom. The world's wisdom, the wisdom that we need to beware of, it's screaming at us from everywhere. And listen, it's not just something that happens to adults. It starts when kids are little. Their cartoons that they watch is screaming worldly wisdom. The world's philosophies, the world's ideas, the books that the kids read, the books that you read, the magazines that you see on the rack at the grocery store. I mean, it is everywhere. Billboards and memes and Facebook ads and what your friends are posting on social media. Everything is pushing a agenda. Everything's pushing a philosophy. Everything's pushing a tradition. And if it's not of God, it's of the world. And it's not going to help us. It's interesting how the world's wisdom is shouting at us from so many sources, but God's wisdom is not shouting. It's just there. And he's waiting for you to get it. If any of you, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which upbraideth not. He doesn't hold back, but he will give to us liberally. And if we ask, God will give us wisdom. Wisdom is seen in our lifestyle. The type of wisdom that we are living with is seen in our lifestyle. Back in verse 13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So it's shown out of a good conversation. Now, The Bible word conversation isn't what we call a conversation today. If I say I had a conversation with Brother Tom, that you would think that means that we're talking to each other. But biblically, the word conversation means your lifestyle. It means your behavior. And so if who's got wisdom? Who's been given knowledge? Well, it's the one that shows it by the way he lives his life. If you've got wisdom, it's going to be seen. So what kind of wisdom do you have? Well, we'll know by the way that you live your life. He's a wise man. In the Bible, there were a lot of wise men. You think about in the Old Testament, you got to think about Daniel. Daniel was a wise man. God had put in him a spirit of wisdom, and it was so prevalent in his life that the kings of foreign countries saw in this young man that the spirit of God was in him and wisdom was in him, and he was entrusted with so much. Why? Because God gave him wisdom. It was seen in his life. We can come today and we look at the New Testament, we look at the early church when the office of the deacon was established. What do we see? Look out seven men among you who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? When the apostle said you need somebody to take care of these day-to-day tasks, you need to take care because the apostles need to be focused on the Word of God and the ministry of the Word. We need somebody to help take care of the widows. But we want somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I want you to see that the level that wisdom is elevated to in Scripture. God says it's the principal thing. God says we want somebody to have the Holy Ghost and we want them to have wisdom. That's a big deal that God would elevate wisdom to that level. And so wisdom is something we desperately need. It comes from our conversation. It's seen in our conversation, our lifestyle. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We want our lifestyle to be a reflection of the fact that we have God in us, that we've been obedient to the gospel, and that we're living by that gospel. It's shown by our works. We studied just the other day, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Listen, we need to do what the Bible says. And when we do that, that's godly wisdom. Our works are important. Can I remind you real quick? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I had the opportunity to talk to a man just yesterday, and it seems like every religion in the world is either, and I think it was Spurgeon who first talked about this, but every religion in the world is either a do religion or a done religion. Every religion in the world today is a do religion. The Bible religion is a done religion. Every religion, it doesn't matter what it is. You could talk about Muslims or Hindus, or you could talk about any other denomination of Christianity, so-called, and it's all about what you do. It's a list of do's and don'ts. Keep this sacrament, follow this rite, pray this way, do these things, and you'll earn your way. Maybe you'll earn your way into heaven. But biblically, the Bible says it's not about what we do. It's about what Christ did for us, what's been done on the cross. That's why you cried out from the cross, "It is finished." What's that mean? It means it's done. It's paid in full. And everything that needed to be done for you and I to have eternal life was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. It's his death, his resurrection. That's how we get to heaven. Amen. Isn't that good? It's not about what we do. But Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, some of our favorite verses, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not us. It's not our works. Because then we could say, look at what I did. Look how I saved myself. No. No, it's not about you, what you did. You didn't save yourself. Jesus saved you. So we have no reason to boast. But too many times, after we're saved, we want to forget about verse 10. We do not work to be saved. We work because we are saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, we don't work to be saved, but when we're saved unto good works, because we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And James says, faith without works is dead, being alone. And if your faith in Christ doesn't lead you to work for Christ, there's something wrong with your faith. It's a dead faith. And we shouldn't have a dead faith. We have a living faith. We have a living hope. And so it causes us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So be doers of the word. So our wisdom that we're living by is seen in our works. And he says it's works with meekness and wisdom. It's seen in our works and it's seen in our spirit. Our spirit will show whether we're walking in the wisdom of God or not. God gives us a spirit of meekness. Why wouldn't we be meek? Why would we be filled with pride? What do we have that we haven't received of God? What are we that we have not been made by God? It's not us. It's all Him. So He gives us the spirit of meekness. And when you're reminded of that day by day, it keeps you humble. And it reminds you that it's not me. It's not about me. And it's hard for me to look down on other people when I put myself down where I belong. And I just look up to Jesus. When you're looking up to Christ, it's hard to look down on anybody else. And so it's about our attitude. It's about our spirit. We're affected by what we take in. Have you ever been amazed at how our external factors can affect your attitude? You can go to a restaurant, or you go to a store in the mall. Man, I went to the mall one time last year. It's the first time I've been in the mall, and I couldn't tell you when. I don't love that place. It's not a place for me. I'm not sure it's a place. It's not a place for me. But I was in the mall, and I just, when I was younger, in my teens, 20s, I did go to the mall a lot more than I do now. And maybe it's a place for those people, but it's not a place for me. But I want to tell you, some of the music that they play in some of those stores will affect your attitude. It'll kind of make you grit your teeth, make you just kind of on edge. It affects you. What we put in affects us. It affects our spirit. And when we put the word of God in, it affects our spirit. How do we manifest this meekness and wisdom? Well, if it's happening in our lives, there's some indications that we're growing in that meekness and wisdom. First of all, we seek wisdom from above, recognizing we can't do it on our own. We can't have wisdom on our own. We have to look to God. People who have this meekness and wisdom seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's a spirit of meekness and wisdom in somebody who's willing to go to others, other godly men, other godly women, and say, I don't know what to do here. I need some help. Pray for me. Help me. What would you do in this situation? You got any Bible verses to help me in this? That's a spirit of meekness, when you're willing to go to others and seek godly counsel. There's a spirit of meekness and wisdom when we're willing to admit failure. Some of you don't mess up enough, so you have a hard time with this. You need to be more like me and fail a lot, and then you get used to it. It's not hard for me to admit failure because I do it a lot. I'm good at it. I always thought you should do what you're good at. When you fail, you need to be willing to admit your failure. We need to be willing to say that we have fallen short. We're not perfect. And we shouldn't pretend to be. We defer credit to others. We don't seek to give credit to ourselves. Somebody who's growing in wisdom and meekness, they're not going to glory in themselves. they're going to glory in Christ. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Jesus, the creator of all things, came with the spirit of meekness. Now, don't misunderstand. Meekness is not weakness. They may rhyme, but they don't mean anything alike. Meekness is really power under control. Meekness is a spirit of humility. Meekness is a spirit of love. Meekness is a spirit of putting others ahead of yourself. And it's the mind that Christ had, that he would become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But sometimes we can mess up wisdom. He says in the text, let him show of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But look at verse 14, he says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. See, we can get away from godly wisdom. We can get to worldly wisdom. And worldly wisdom begins with envying. Now, envying is a interesting word, because sometimes it's used in a positive sense. The zeal of the house of the Lord hath eaten me up. Who is that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. That word zeal is the same word for envying in our text. Now, it can be a positive thing. The Bible talks about God being jealous, a jealous God. That's the idea of envying. It's a jealousy in a positive sense. It's a jealousy in a good way. In a positive sense, it's a zeal. It's a passion. It's also translated in our Bible, a fervent mind. And you can have a zeal, a fervent mind, a jealousy for the things of God in a good way. Everybody with me? But this word, the same exact word, can be used in exactly the opposite sense. It can be used in a negative sense. And this is envying. This is a jealousy, an envy that's the wrong way. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day. And he gives a list of things, but he lists not in strife and envyings. In 1 Corinthians, Paul charges the church. He says, ye are yet carnal. He says, is there not among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not yet carnal? You see, when we get out of the spirit and we get in the flesh, we get this jealousy, we get this envying, and this is where worldly wisdom tears us away from godly wisdom. It starts with this envy. You see, the spirit of Christ is to look on the things of others and not on our own things. The spirit of Christ is to think not more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The spirit of Christ is to put other people before us. But the spirit of the world, the world's wisdom, is to put ourselves first, to elevate ourselves, to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and to be jealous or envious of others. Friends, when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes there are problems in the church. I'll give you a minute to let that sink in. Did you know that sometimes there are strifes in the church? Somebody's upset with somebody else, or somebody's feelings are hurt, or somebody was rude or offensive, or somebody said or did something they should not have done. Did you know that people in this church are not perfect? Some of you are like, yeah, I know a lot of people in this church aren't perfect. You want me to make a list? You know, when we start trying to find fault with others, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? It all comes back to envying. And that root of that envying is pride. You know, pride is what caused Lucifer to revolt against God in the first place. And ultimately, it's pride that led Adam to take of that fruit that God told him not to eat. And ultimately, every problem that we have in our church and in our personal lives comes back to pride. I think one of the easiest ways to see this spirit of the world, this worldly wisdom, this envying, this pridefulness come out, would be to put a camera in your car while you're driving. How many of you find that there are a lot of people who can't drive on the road? Right? How many of you have ever griped at another person's driving while you're driving? Anybody? Here's the catch. How many of you have been guilty of exactly the same thing that you're griping about somebody else for? Yeah. Yeah, like, where's your blinker, man? Yeah, like you've never done that. Right? Why do you got to stop in the middle of the road before you turn? You know, that other lane, oncoming traffic, their way down there, use that other lane, going the wrong way to turn. You don't have to stop in the middle of the road, right? Drive on the shoulder for a while. Get out of the way. Yeah. Uh-huh. What is all that? We're just as guilty as anybody else. We've all been distracted. Some of you get so fired up about somebody looking at their phone, but you'll be trying to pick your lipstick up out of the floorboard while you're driving. I am amazed, by the way, at some of the skill of some of the women I've seen drive around here putting their face on while they're driving. It's impressive and deadly. I mean, I'm just saying that we're guilty of those same things that we get so upset with other people about. Why? Because it comes back to our pride. In the church, when there's envying, it's because of our pride. And we get prideful because we take our eyes off of Jesus. It's impossible for us to focus on Christ and to be prideful, to be jealous, to be envious, to have strife. This type of wisdom is not from above. It is earthly. I told you before, beware, Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There is this earthly wisdom, and it starts with this envy, it brings strife, it brings conflict, and it's earthly. Not only is it earthly, but it's sensual. The Greek word from which sensual is derived speaks about the principle of animal life, just doing that which comes naturally. I can't help but think about sometimes when we're witnessing to people, I like to use the law. Jesus said, whosoever looks with lust has committed adultery already in his heart. And a lot of guys will go, and I'll say, have you ever done that? You ever look with lust? You're like, well, yeah, I'm a guy. What are they saying? It's natural. I'm a man. I can't help it. Is that true? No, it's not true. You don't have to. You've just given in to that worldly, sensual desire. You've given in to the natural state. You're acting like a godless human being. It's sensual. It's animalistic. By the way, I don't care what scientists say, we're not just animals. We're different than the dogs, even if we don't act like it. We're different than the hogs, even if we don't act like it. It's also devilish. It comes from an evil spirit. It starts with this envy and strife, and I want you to look at the end of it. I want you to see where it ends up. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion, verse 16, and every evil work. When you start with envying and strife, you're going to end up with all kinds of sin, every kind of wicked work. But friends, it doesn't have to be that way. Amen. It doesn't have to be that way, because we have verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Number one, it's pure. What does it mean? It's clean. God's wisdom doesn't have carnality in it. God's wisdom doesn't have sensuality in it. God's wisdom doesn't have strife in it. God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom is without pride. It's without divisiveness. It's evidence through the person who doesn't make decisions based on the counsel of the unsaved. It's evidence through the man who doesn't laugh at a wicked joke. It's evidence through the woman who serves God from a pure heart fervently. It's evidence in our actions, because it comes from purity. It's clean. It's not tainted with the world's wisdom. And God's wisdom gives us purity. Not only is it pure, but it is peaceable. God's wisdom brings peace. A lot of the trials, discomforts, miscommunications, family problems, problems at work, other problems in life or relationships, it comes from a lack of wisdom in our lives. With wisdom, godly wisdom, comes peace. Friends, I don't know about you, but I desperately want peace in my heart and life. I want peace in my family. I want peace in the church. It's not just some weird thing to say, I want world peace. Listen, Jesus is going to bring peace one day. He's going to do away with all war. He's going to do away with all strife. Peace is a good thing to desire, and it's something we can have right now. Number one, we can have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are enemies of God without Christ, but with Christ, we have peace with God. Number two, we can have inner peace. We have peace in our own hearts. We can have peace that passes understanding. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We can have peace inside our hearts every day. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. It may be storming in our lives. There may be all kinds of trials and tribulations. In the midst of the storm, we can still have peace in our hearts. It's a peace that the world can't touch. And we can have peace with others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peace with God, peace inside, peace with one another. Not only is it pure and peaceable, but it is patient. It's gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy. It's gentle, easy to be entreated. In other words, it's fair. You can agree without being disagreeable, or disagree without being disagreeable. Everybody know, get that? Okay. And it's full of mercy. And these are things that are best seen in our lives when things aren't agreeable. You take a tea bag and you put it in hot water and you find out what's inside. You take any container, any box with the lid not on tight, and you shake it up, and you'll find out what's inside. When you take a Christian and you shake them up, or you put them in hot water, you find out what's really inside. When we have God's wisdom, we have this patience. We have this gentleness and this easy to be entreatedness, this gentleness and this peaceableness. And we have this mercy that's evidenced when we're shaken up. It's pretty easy to be gentle when somebody's gentle with you. But how do you react when somebody yells at you? It's easy to be pretty patient and compliant when people are easy to get along with. But what about when they're not? What about when they're pushy and they're bossy and they're hateful and rude? Are we merciful to somebody when they treat us in a way that we don't want to be treated? Listen, I'm not saying that we just ignore sin and it's all okay, but you know, we can deal with conflict in a right way. If you've had to deal with the public or customers like I have in my life, I figure this out. The Bible tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. Just a quick poll. How many of you have ever been cussed out by somebody? Most of you have. Not really surprised by some of you. No. Most of us have had that experience where, especially dealing with customers, they get upset, they get mad. And I'm going to tell you that I've tried it a couple of different ways. I've allowed my pride to get in the way, and I've allowed myself to become offended, and I've responded to them to the same degree that they come at me. And so the angrier they get, the angrier I get. The louder they get, the louder I get. I've done that before. And I want to tell you, it's a miserable feeling. You may feel good for a second, you know, because you're telling them how it is. But immediately, I don't know about you, but immediately, my spirit is smitten inside. I've also dealt with it another way. They get loud, I stay quiet. They get angrier, I just stay calm. I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing thing, the difference that it makes in the conflict. And I get to put my head on my pillow at night without regret. That's worth more than you can imagine. Where does that come from? Well, you're just such a nice guy, Brother Isaac. I can't imagine you yelling at anybody. Right. Just come up to the house tonight at bedtime when we're trying to get all the kids bathing in bed. It's like World War III. Amen. I appreciate that some of you don't think I would yell and act ugly like that. It's nice. Nobody really thought that. Okay. I don't have that in me to be meek and peaceable. It's not in my nature. It's in the Spirit of God working in me. And the more I'm in the Word of God, the more I have His truth, the more I have His wisdom, the more I have His peace. This world is chaotic. And it's a sweet thing that we can have the peace of God. And we can live with the patience of God. Not only that, but it's productive. It's full of good fruits. The results of good works are good fruits. Sow bountifully, reap also bountifully. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Good works. Good fruits. And it's full of good fruits. Wisdom is going to result in a lot of good things in your life. Good relationships. It's going to result in, when you put effort into anything, in your work, in your school, in your home, in your church, it's going to result in good fruits. And it's without pretense. It's without pretense. Pretense means to pretend. It's a false show. And the wisdom of God is without partiality. Partiality is what we would call today discrimination. The wisdom of God is not discriminatory. It's not a respecter of persons. The wisdom of God loves everyone equally, treats everyone equally. It's biblical equality. There's a lot of talk about equality in America today, but what we're talking about is loving everyone and giving the gospel to everyone and doing good to everyone and not discriminating against anyone for any reason. Most of us find it easy to treat people like us a good way, but we act differently towards people who are different or we perceive to be different than us. They come from a different place, they talk a different way, they wear different clothes, they have different skin color, whatever it is. And let me just be clear, because some of you, we discriminate differently. Like a lot of people, I'm always amazed. Missionary Baptists are like this. We're more quickly to discriminate against somebody we think is wealthy than we are against somebody who we think is poor. Discrimination's not right either direction. You don't discriminate against the poor. You don't discriminate against the rich. You don't discriminate against Christians. You don't discriminate against Muslims. Listen, the gospel's for everybody. The love of Christ is for all. Wisdom is not, it doesn't have partiality. And we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. It's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy. This word hypocrisy we see in the scriptures mostly is unfeigned. It's not fake. God's wisdom brings about a genuineness. It brings about something real. You know, people can fake being a Christian. But godly wisdom, it brings about something real. The Bible talks about love unfeigned. It talks about faith unfeigned. And the wisdom of God will bring about a life that's real. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Where do we find it? We find it in the Word of God, and we find it in the prayer closet. That's where you get wisdom, by searching for it and by asking for it. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I want to tell you, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I want to tell you there's only been a handful of people that I've known in my life that truly live with the joy of the Lord. Now listen, everybody in the church, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. We all have a certain degree of peace. We all have a certain degree of joy. We're all thankful for our salvation. Everybody with me? But you know what I'm talking about. Those people that just are at a different place, their peace in God is just at a different level. Their joy of the Lord is just at a different level, and it just seems like they're in their own world. You know what I'm talking about? Have you known people like that? Most of you? I desperately want to be that person. Because it's like they're in their own little world, and it doesn't matter what's happening in their lives. They got this even keel, and nothing messes them up. They're just living for Jesus. They're happy they're going to heaven, and it's just nothing else matters. And yeah, they have struggles, and yeah, maybe there's times when things are hard and they're hurting and they're praying, but there's still just this resilience, this inner peace that they have. They seem unshakable. Did you know that's something all of us can have? And it's something all of us can have when we walk in wisdom. Let's stand together. We're going to sing number 514. If God's Spirit's convicting your heart tonight, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now would be a good time to get on your knees and say, God, give me wisdom. I need it desperately today and every day.